This podcast is brought to you by lilybadcock.com and The Confidence Academy, giving you the confidence to be who you truly are. This is The Confidence Academy podcast. My name is Lily Badcock, and I am a transformational confidence coach, and I'm here with a message for you. The anxiety and overwhelm you've been experiencing is not something to be feared or avoided. It's also not something that gets to define who you are as a person. No matter who you are, no matter what your story is, I know that you get to live a life of fulfillment and joy. It's my absolute pleasure to bring this podcast series to you in collaboration with some phenomenal people from all over the world who have walked the same path as you. Together, we will share our stories, our challenges, and our triumphs, with the intention of helping you to see that it's possible for you too. Anxiety may be something you live with, but it doesn't get to define who you are or how you live your life. So stand by for some powerful conversations, deep realizations, and the occasional F-bomb. So get those headphones in if you're around sensitive ears, and stand by. This is gonna be fun. What's up, party people? It's me, Lily, and today's episode is one I've been looking forward to sharing for months. I chatted with the gorgeous Jana Rom, who is a conscious relationship and embodiment expert. Don't worry if you don't know what that means, all will be explained. I knew before we even began that this was going to be such a powerful conversation, and I was not disappointed. So buckle up. As always, I would love to hear your thoughts on this episode, so do please jump into the Facebook group with your questions and comments. The link is in the show notes, along with Jana's contact details, plus the free meditation album that she is offering all of us as a gift. And don't forget, you can now join my mailing list if you want to keep in touch, that is. Where's the link? In the show notes! Sign up today and get a daily dose of channeled inspiration straight to your inbox. You also get a free soul activation meditation download when you sign up. In the meantime, sit back, relax, and enjoy this awesome conversation with Jana Rom. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. And holy, holy moly, I say this every time. It feels like it's losing its power, but my God, it's genuine. I'm genuinely this excited for every single person that I get to speak to on this podcast. But this young lady that I'm bringing on today is someone that has only come into my world recently. And it's one of those things where it was just soul recognition instantly. And so her name is Jana Rom. I should probably tell you guys that. And Jana is a conscious relationship and embodiment expert. And I actually recently signed up for a free summit that Jana was hosting. And as I said, it was just instant soul recognition. I reached out immediately and was like, I would love to have you on my show. And she was like, hell yes. And here we are. Jana, welcome to the show.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so, so much for having me here. I loved your intro. I love your energy, the excitement and everything that you're bringing into the ethers through this beautiful podcast. And I love the way that we came together. And it felt like that instant soul recognition. That's how life is. And that's what I've come to understand why I gave, I guess we all anoint ourselves, right, with our titles, because what does the title actually mean? But what yeah. is a conscious relationship? A conscious relationship. What is that? What does that even mean?
Yeah. I mean, I would love for you.
Relationship to me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly that. And so I'm just going to dive straight into that, because obviously conscious relationship and embodiment expert, when you hear the word relationship, you immediately assume that that's going to be about two people. So, you know, a husband and a wife, or, you know, two husbands, two wives, whatever it may be. But I'm kind of getting the feeling that your work is also intrinsically about the relationship to self, because to me, that's how any relationship has to work anyway, right? You can't give it all away to the other person. It has to be something that you embody yourself first, and then you find that match. So I would love to hear you speak into what your title means and what your work is all about.
Yes, yes, yes. I love the way that you just tied that in, because there's so much I can speak into with what my life has taught me in the last 2 years roundabouts with regards to what conscious relationship means to me. And it
absolutely starts with the relationship to self. When I first started my business, I named myself a life coach. You know, that's what the general understanding, and still to this day, if I were to go back home to Chicago and I would try to explain to someone what I do, if I gave them anything other than life coach, they would just look at me like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So for those that may not understand what all of these very fancy titles for the coaching industry are, it's just a very specific way of explaining the depth of what we do, but it is life coaching. It's what do we do when we really deep dive into self-actualization and embodying our highest expression, our highest potential, right? Becoming that full embodied version of you that has all areas of life really mastered. Mm-hmm. When I first started my business, I was like, okay, what is this that I'm doing? And the words that came through, you're coming home to you. The entire journey has been a self-remembrance and excavation of releasing aspects that were unconscious, because the consciousness of self was always ever present. And mm-hmm. I would look back and I would reflect on time where it would be like, how was I so lucky to have a particular occurrence happen? Or how did I manifest this? It was just all happening for me and in my favor. But I wasn't aware because I wasn't awakened. So as I started to really do this inner work and started to reflect on myself, I realized that everything is in a relationship with the self. As within, so without really had been a concept for a long time. What I started to understand, we see everything through a lens of perception. And if I'm in a toxic relationship with myself, if I'm not willing to look at me and have a really powerful awareness of self and the stories I'm telling myself, the energy that I'm emanating out because of how I feel energetically, emotionally towards myself or towards some grievance that I'm holding on to or anything that's happened in my life, that is based on the science piece that I love of taking like the big like spiritual and self-development concepts and really just bringing them back to psychology and science. If you think about the law of resonance, one of the main laws of the universe, what we are a match for energetically is what we create more of and attract more of into our lives. So I started realizing, okay, I've had this type of relationship. And the relationship, what I'm talking about is my relationship with money. I would be good at making money, but I would never be able to hold on to it. I would have every job that I went to, I would give it my all. I'd have this amazing outcome, but it would always end up being like I was hustling for my worth. So I had a toxic relationship to my employment. I had a toxic relationship to money. I had definitely toxic relationships to relationships with men. I had a horrific relationship with my body. I had an eating disorder for 10 years, all because I was stuffing down and avoiding the trauma that lived within my being. So to me, becoming a conscious relationship expert, I had to really be willing to do my shadow work, to look inward, to excavate all aspects of me that weren't a reflection of my true self. And then every area of my life started to improve.
And I love that we've gone here because, you know, I think so many people come on this podcast and they talk, as they rightly should, about this, you know, this fact that we are born worthy of abundance and of flow and of ease. And, you know, and so many times I've said on this show and in other places that what you see and feel inside of you is meant for you. And you know, and I really believe that. And yet it's still true to say that in the cold light of day and in my own life, there are definitely areas where that doesn't seem to be backed up. And I know that when people hear people speaking like that, especially if they're in a place of struggle or lack or, you know, any kind of conflict, hearing that can be jarring and it can feel like, well, maybe for you, but not for me. So I love that you've immediately addressed the fact that, yes, you're a life coach. Yes, at some point that became a more spiritual thing. And, you know, I mean, I just believe there's so much I could like pick up on there, but I just believe that, you know, we are all here on our mission and we have this human experience. And so the souls are going to be led to human labels, human, you know, abilities in order to start that process. And so I love that you took it there. And then you've mentioned that, you know, that it wasn't always that way for you, that you've walked your path. This is the thing. And the reason I'm highlighting that is because for the people that listen to this podcast, I know for so many of you, you are in that space right now. You know, Zhanna used the term shadow work and shadow self. And, you know, that basically means, in fact, I saw a really funny meme today in a spiritual group that I'm part of saying, if someone hasn't been through at least 5 dark nights of the soul, then we can't even be friends. You know, 7 would be better, but, you know, whatever. But I think this is it. And I know for a lot of people that are listening to this podcast, the spiritual piece may be either brand new or maybe even hasn't clicked in yet. They're still very much in the struggle, in the anxiety, the stress, the depression. And I know that in that place, it feels like it that is you. And we attach ourselves to that story. And we think that this is us. We think this is the hand we've been dealt. We think some people get it lucky and I'm not one of those people. And what I love about your work is it's very much about, it's separation and oneness all in one. It's separating from that struggle and realizing that that was never you. You know, you are not your anxiety. You are not your stress. You are not the worst decision you've ever made. You know, you're not the biggest mistake you've ever made. We do not have to carry on walking around dragging these crosses behind us going, oh, do you remember that time I fucked up and like I can never recover from that. This you know, this is really about understanding that you are much bigger than that. Yes, you're having a human experience. Yes, these things feel very real. Yes, these things are very real, you know, in that moment. But when you can really start to understand the essence of you and the power you hold, and you can separate yourself from whatever trauma, conflict, you know, shitstorm has come your way, it's just the first step. It's the first step. If you guys could see Zhanna right now, she's reminding me of one of those things you get in a car, like the nodding dogs, because she's like, yes, the yes, Bible. Yes. Yeah. And I, you know, the reason I'm highlighting that is because I think it's very easy when you're in that struggle, it's very easy to listen to somebody like Zhanna or like me or anyone else and go, oh, well, it's all right for you because you're a life coach, or it's all right for you because you're an embodiment coach or whatever. Nah, Zhanna's already told you she has like walked her path. I'm sure there are still areas now that throw up challenge for you, you know, because you're living yesterday. Your human experience. So yeah, right. Yeah. So yesterday.
Like every day I walk a dark side of the soul every other day.
Yeah. And I want people to really understand that. Do not dismiss this and go, oh, well, it's okay for that person because blah, blah, blah. You know, that is just a load of bollocks, basically. It's bullshit. And at the end of the day, you will choose what you want to believe. You'll choose what feels right for you. That never felt good for me to believe that someone else could have that and I couldn't have that. I know that I've really hammered in that point, but I know there are people listening that will be like, all right for them. Nah, you have it in you as well. If you're living in this world, if you're on this planet, there's a beautiful reason why, and you have power beyond anything you can even comprehend. You just have to start believing that's true. That's all you have to do. You don't even have to know how. You don't have to know what it looks like. You certainly don't have to own your struggle or feel like it, you know, feel like it was necessary. I mean, God, don't feel like I did, guilty that I hadn't actually been tested that badly. So then going, okay, well, I will have the life I want, but first I have to massively be tested, right? Like, that's not a thing either.
Well, that's what's actually really interesting because you're saying that, because I'm thinking back to when I first started my journey and I was like, I don't have enough trauma. I didn't go through enough in my life. I don't have any stories to tell. What do you mean? When I was first, you know, I'd always had this desire to help people. And what does that actually mean? You know, there's that deep yearning for connection and being of service and having an impact-driven life that was at the core of my being. But conceptually, that's all that it was. It was a concept. I didn't really know what that meant in a deeper sense because I was looking at it from an outsider looking in perspective. And what you really did something beautiful just now, speaking into the multidimensionality of the human aspect. And I'm bringing it back to human science. I love my most recent revelation that I had when I was teaching on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like bringing it back to simple human terms, guys. So many people that, especially in this day and age, as we're walking into 2021 with everything that's happened this year, there are things that are undeniably occurring in all of our lives. There are psychic abilities that are turning on, intuitive nudges, synchronicities, upon synchronicities, relationships that we cannot tolerate staying in anymore because they came and they were integrated into our lives from a place of unconsciousness, a place of low self-worth, not really embodying our truth, not speaking authentically. We were just passing time, and our essence that you so beautifully spoke into can no longer stand the suffocation of drowning in dissonance. That's what it is. There's this thing called cognitive dissonance, which you also spoke into, where you were saying how people can listen to this and say, well, it's easy for them to say because X. But that's the cognitive dissonance piece that you're in. Your brain is actually saying, actually, I'm showing you proof that this is possible. This is a gateway, an access point that you are looking upon that is showing you a possibility for your life if you so choose it. And then what happens is the part of your brain that has ingrained belief systems that you picked up on from ages 0 and 7, that could have been from your family, it could have been from society, it could have been being at a friend's house and the parents were arguing and you overheard something and your childlike brain made it mean that it was fact. And so those, like you were saying, bullshit, your BS, your belief systems are creating your experience in this physical plane. And so when you look at these things, a belief system is formed and ingrained as a belief into the mind in the scientific way through our neural pathway. So literally, you're a little kid, you're like this sponge, this thought comes into your mind, you make it mean what you make it mean because of the way that it was received. And there's a neural pathway that is formed in your brain that now adheres to this being fact. And now that fact, because of the law of resonance, has to come to pass and be reflected back to you over and over again to A, give you evidence that you are correct because we want to be right, even though we don't want the thing that we're right about. And then B, also as another layer, it's being reflected to you as an opportunity to choose again. It's a lesson. So there are so many multidimensional facets to our human experience. We are not just the 3D meat suit. We are so much more. Or if we were just a body, we would continue being. There would be no death. The essence leaves when we cross over. And there's been so many, we can go into so many layers, but I really wanted to bring that in because in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, this is what I've come to understand. The base core fundamentals of kindergarten is being skipped over as humans. We're trying to graduate straight to the PhD and walk around like we know everything. We've been there, done that, which is part of the mind. It's the craving mind that kicks in. What I've learned, if I'm not even basic common needs met, nourished, then I have no business trying to figure out the rest of it. That's what really helped me heal and come into embodiment. I was recognizing I was escaping myself by scrolling. I was escaping myself through food. I was escaping myself through relationship. I was escaping myself through worrying, through all of this stuff. And it wasn't until I calmed my nervous system by really checking in with the self through breath, through making sure that I was nourished, that then I could graduate up to like main safety, like having more than enough. Like if you don't believe that you're worthy, there's no way abundance can make it into your world. Okay, that's a great concept, but how do I even like get to compartmentalizing that? Well, if you don't believe you're worthy, you're not slowing down to breathe. You're definitely not drinking enough water. You're probably not eating nutritious foods that will give you energy and give your body a sense of calm, soothe. It's just probably garbage. You're definitely not sleeping well because we're all worried and freaking out. So these are just like base core fundamentals that are not being met because a part of you is in fight or flight all the time. And the only way to manifest the things that you want is to first come in and calm yourself. Soothe that distorted belief system, unpack it, look at it, and decide, like become a prosecutor for your own good. So many of us believe the stories of the mind that are lack worthy, but what if somebody walked up to you and started screaming at you and telling you what a piece of crap you are? Would you just take it or would you tell them to go F off? But we don't do that in our heads. the brain tells you some nonsense like, oh, that's really great for them, but that's not possible for me. Says who?
Yeah.
Who the heck? Yeah. Who told you that? If it's possible for me, it sure as hell is possible for you. But in the moment that you said it's not possible for me, you actually just sealed your fate.
Yeah.
With great power comes great accountability. And that's what we're not talking about enough. I had to take radical responsibility and own that my life and all the crap in it was my fault. Not my fault, but it was a reflection of what I was available for. It was a reflection of me not taking ownership. It was a reflection of really terrible boundaries, trying to save the world and avoiding myself. I created everything in my awareness.
Yeah.
And from there, I was able to heal.
Yeah. That is such a powerful message. And something I've learned as well, because, and I think the first time somebody hears that, you're going to get defensive. You're going to go, but it wasn't my fault that that person shit on me. It wasn't my fault that that thing happened. And that's not what this means. And I know I've covered this before, but it can just be said again and again and again. Taking responsibility for your life doesn't mean that you consciously chose it. It meant that you didn't know any better. You know, if we don't know better, we don't do better. But, you know, the thing that I love, and this actually came through yesterday. So I mentioned to you just before we went live on air that just yesterday I decided to, like I quite often do, look at my money mindset again. Now, I've spoken about this on this podcast before. I happen to believe that our spiritual lessons are delivered through one of three channels. And I think that's money, health, and relationships. What that means is the biggest lessons you're learning in your life are being served up to you through one of those main channels. And, you know, for some people it's multiple, but I would say most people have one prominent channel and it's like a recurring thing. And I've thought this for a while. So I was like, okay, so my thing's money. But guess what? That actually kept me stuck in the struggle with money, because then I gave it a purpose. Then I was like, oh, it's okay that money is hard, because I'm growing spiritually and I'm being, you know, I'm being given what I need. So I trust that at some point it's going to get better and I'll just be okay in the meantime. Well, okay, that might make you sleep better at night, but actually what, like, how do we know that we have time to wait? You know, life can just go like that. You don't know when your time's up. And, you know, the realization I had yesterday, it came through journaling after I decided to do this for 30 days. So, and you guys can follow along with this, by the way, I'm documenting it all on my Instagram stories. I've just committed for the next 30 days to do daily meditations, daily wealth affirmations, daily journaling, daily paying attention to my thoughts, to the bullshit I'm telling myself, daily flipping anything around that doesn't fit, daily choosing out of what I don't want, choosing into what I do. And interestingly, today was day two. I was listening to something that I had decided I would do. It's a training by Katrina Ruth. I know, Jana, you love Katrina as well. Like, Kat, like, is my favorite coach in the world. And even today, like yesterday, I listened and was like, I love this. Today I listened and I was aware that straight away I was going, oh, I probably don't need to do this. Oh, this is probably not what I need. And I could feel myself starting to check out. And then I was like, no. We're committing for 30 days, even if it feels like bullshit, even if you don't think you need it at all, that's your commitment and you're doing it. And I think because I've said I'm doing it and I'm doing it on Instagram stories, I made myself go through it anyway. And of course, as I listened more, I was like, wow, that's exactly been my issue. I have always started down the right path and then I've always talked myself out of it. Now, something that came through in my journaling yesterday that was so profound was around this concept of the struggle, because for me, money has always been my thing, my struggle. It's always been my source of shame, guilt, the thing that's made me feel like not a good human, the thing that's made me feel like this is going to be why I'm unhappy my whole life. Like, you know, all of the shit has come from money. And yesterday I realized that the struggle with money has never been necessary. You know, what I downloaded while I was writing was, as a soul having a human experience, I'm going to be served up challenges. That is par for the course, right? They're already locked in. You said something in your summit that I loved, and I've repeated it 5 bajillion times. And that was, nothing that is meant for you could ever pass you by. And I was like, of course, yeah. Oh, she's got it on her phone. I love it. What is meant for you won't pass by you. It's absolutely true. And so thinking about that yesterday, I was like, well, then if I'm on this journey and if I'm already going to be served up challenges, why did I ever need to create more? You know, and the realization I had was that, yes, as humans, there's going to be challenge. There's going to be conflict. You're going to be given things to handle in your life that are going to feel too huge. You know, you're going to have things to deal with. And for some people, that might look like divorce, or it might look like the death of a loved one, or, you know, it could be a combination of all of those. But then on top of that, we create more pain. I really wish I had my journal to hang, because some of what I wrote was so profound, didn't come from me at all. It was definitely through. But the realization I had was, all the while you're giving purpose to the pain, you're going to seek more pain. In other words, yeah, if you think that you're getting something from that struggle, you are going to create more of the struggle. So it just goes deeper into what Zhanna was talking about, because I think so many people go, oh, I'm not creating my struggle with money. It's not my fault I lost my job. It's not my fault I'm on benefits or whatever. It's not that it's your fault, but you are in charge of your vibration. You're absolutely in charge of your vibration. You're in charge of your perception. You might not be in charge of what comes at you, but you're absolutely in charge of how you process that. And that's what Zhanna, yes, meant when she said, take responsibility. Like, it's not a woe is me. You're not going to drown in a bottle of wine going, oh, I've messed up my life. You're going to go, I played my part and now I know, yeah, different. And, you know,
I made a mistake.
I made
a mistake. It's not my fault, but it is my responsibility to do something about it. It didn't, absolutely, happen to you. It happened for you. It was feedback. And I always ask this simple question. You may have lost your job. I lost two corporate jobs back to back. And it's interesting when I actually ask the question of what is the lesson in this for me and how am I to use it for good? The reason I lost these two jobs is because it was time for me to start my own business, because I had a bigger mission to walk out in the world. I could have sat there and wallowed in it. I could have gotten another job and it would have kept happening because it has to, because your higher self, your inner being has override access in your life. We do have free will, but I had prayed a prayer at some point and said, for the love of God, I didn't come here for this shit. Excuse my language. Like all of us listening, especially if any of you know who Katrina Ruth is like, we know that we were made for more. Yeah. There's like an ache in your being that's like, thank God for this year. I was so sick and tired of watching 90% of our society numb out on football Sundays, Mondays, Wednesdays, whatever other excuse they had to idolize people running around on a field. And why they were idolizing them is because they were in their zone of genius, channeling a higher power, which is the craziest thing. You're on the sidelines and checked out from your life, not living. So thank God for this year. I know it's been horrible. Yeah. It's caused a lot of struggle and pain in all of our lives. And I'm also looking at it from a place of, and what is the lesson in this for us? And how are we to turn this into the greater good? Because the minute you shift into that, you shift out of poverty consciousness, you shift out of victim mentality, and a solution presents itself. That's what Lily was talking about, the law of resonance, about you are responsible for your vibration. And mainly, more than anything, we're responsible for shining a light on our own BS to excavate so that your vibration can be a match for something higher. And I really want to speak to something, because of course, you know, the synchronicities are always there. I actually received an email from the beautiful Cassidy Kane this morning. If you don't follow her, she's an amazing oracle and she's a channeler. But here's what she actually said in her email today. The truth about divine timing, in quotes, because that's another spiritual bypassing tool that we use when we're like, well, if it's God's will, then it'll happen. Yeah. But then you're not a co-creator. No, God's not going to just be like, hey, I'm just going to do it all for you. That's not what we're here to do. So the truth about divine timing is different from what most people believe. It doesn't mean when the divine decides it's time or intervenes. It means when the energies are a match, when your personal frequency is a match to what you ask for, that's when it shows up. And that is why so many people's prayers seemingly go unheard. The answers are always on their way,
But until the person is willing to do the work to lift up, they're out of reach of receiving.
Yeah, 100%. And that's such a great point, because I believed that for a long time. I was raised Christian, so I was raised to believe that when you want something, you pray to God and you ask for it. And it's very much rooted in, you know, there's right behavior and wrong behavior. So you start to believe that if I behave correctly, I will be blessed with all of the things that I desire and, you know, and everything I ask for. But if I behave incorrectly, then I will be punished. And this was a belief I held for a long time. And it all ties in with that victim mentality as well, because I was believing that I just hadn't earned it yet. It was like, I haven't, you know, like I realized this about journaling at one time. Kat's a huge, Katrina Ruth, who we've mentioned, is a huge advocate for journaling. And so I've definitely journaled because of her. But it hit me at one point that I was starting to tell myself off if I hadn't done my journaling. And then I had this realization, like, you don't get what you're asking for because you did your journaling. Like, there's nothing in the sky going, oh yeah, that person's done her journaling, so let's give it to her. Which is also why, if you've been doing your journaling every single day for 5 years and you haven't got what you want, it's because it doesn't matter a shit. Like, journaling is just a gift you give yourself to dig into what you're feeling inside. For me, it's a channeling tool. Like, I will start to write about how I'm feeling, and very quickly something takes over. Like the journal session yesterday, you can tell the difference between Lily the human and Lily the higher self, because they're polar opposites. Like, Lily higher self knows exactly what's going on. Lily the human hasn't got a fucking clue. She's like sat down here going, oh boo-hoo, this hasn't happened, that hasn't happened. But it was this belief that I could be punished or rewarded. And then if the reward didn't come, then I was kind of going, oh, well, I must have not done enough stuff. I must have not made the right choices, or I must have not pleased whoever I'm supposed to please. The minute I realized that that was bullshit was a big moment. And then on top of that, though, I'd got what I call this Rapunzel syndrome, where I just was Rapunzel in a tower, letting down my hair and going, OK, someone's got to come and save me, right? And that was showing up in human behavior. Oh, I can't pay this bill, so who's going to pay it? Like, I can't figure this out. I have to phone and ask my dad to help me, or I have to, you know, get a loan, or like somebody else has to come in. It was just this constant over and over again belief that I didn't have what it took inside of me. And that is some massive BS. And oddly, huge, yeah. And oddly, yesterday, you know, I mentioned that I started this wealth consciousness. Now, I started that yesterday from a desire to have more money in my life, to have more ease, like you said, to sort of, you know, evolve into that place of more than enough, not just getting by. And so I made that choice from that human desire to have more money. But within 24 hours, I was reminded that wealth consciousness has very little to do with money, and very much everything to do with remembering who the fuck you are, and, you know, and then tuning into that. And what came through this morning very, very clearly was that I'm a spiritual teacher. That's who I am. Like, it doesn't matter what labels I give myself, or what I tell, what I write in my bios, or what, or how my human chooses to show up. Anytime I forget that I'm a spiritual teacher, I start to feel that pull of anxiety. I start to feel out of alignment. I start to do things that don't fit. I start to make bad choices. I start to basically align myself with the life that is not what I'm meant for. And I just believe, I know and believe that we're all sent here on a mission. I'm not saying everybody is a spiritual teacher. I kind of think we all are to some degree, because we're all here to learn and grow from each other. But yesterday I posted in one of my Facebook groups to tell people that I was doing this thing. And almost immediately somebody dropped in the comments and said, have you read a book called The Power of Now? And I almost said yes, because I've heard about that book so many times. But then when I looked at it, I was like, oh, I've had that book. I've just never read it. I started reading it yesterday, and holy God, like, my entire mind has been blown. It's brilliant. And something they talk about in the second chapter is this, this idea that the struggle we create is like it's bad energy. They almost talk about it like an outside entity. It's like something that has come into us and is living through us and feeding off of us. And it keeps us, like you said, it keeps us stuck in these bad beliefs. It makes us believe that we must struggle. So we go and we look for more pain because it's familiar and we need what's familiar. Honest to God, like, I think it's one of those books that if you're not ready to read it, you'll just read it and be like, what the fuck is this? But I think if you're ready to receive it, and I would go as far as to say that if you're listening to this episode today and you're hearing me talk about this book, there's a very good chance that you're ready to pick up that book. I'm loving it. It just, apart from anything else, it immediately talks to what you just spoke into about being the observer. Like, you know, I love that you said, you know, look at the mistake that you made, process it. Don't beat yourself up about it. Definitely don't try and push it down and pretend it didn't happen. Don't try and make excuses, and do not judge yourself either. Just be the observer of it. Go, oh, huh, that's funny. But what do I choose now? What's my choice now? And what that to do about it? Exactly. Like, you know, I might have made that choice for the last 42 years, but the only moment we ever have is now. That's what the whole book is about. It's, you know, the entire point of the book is that there's only ever now. But it's our conditioning to be drawn constantly back to the past or project constantly into the future that then gives us this perception of lack that lets us feel like, you know, we're failing. And this realization I had around wealth, you know, being that I'm doing this wealth consciousness, straight away was, well, money only matters to me because it matters to the world. It doesn't matter to my soul. And so in that way, I could never fail because I was bad with money. It's just not possible because it has no bearing on that. If you're bad with money, or if your thing isn't money, it might be relationships. So if you're bad with money, with relationships, or if you're always poorly, or like whatever your thing is, that is not your punishment. That is not your cross to bear. It doesn't mean you're not a divine soul. It doesn't mean you don't have greatness within you. It certain as fuck doesn't mean that you cannot make a different choice. And it was such a profound realization for me. It was like, you are who you are, and it doesn't matter how much you've struggled for money, what mistakes you've made. That, you know, the money matters on a human level. As humans, we need money. We need money, we need health, and we need connection, human connection. That's all human needs. Our soul doesn't need any of that. Your soul is already perfect. It already is what it is. When you can realize the power of that, then you'll transcend the rest. And I then want to go into and say, it's then not about, and I think you already said this as well, it's then not about just going, oh, well, they're not, you know, that's okay, I don't have to take responsibility for it. No, because you're still having your human experience, right? You still got to see what these lessons are. But when you can observe what you've done, when you can observe how you think, how you feel, what you chose, from a place of non-judgment, and instead from a place of, okay, well, that is what it is, what do I choose now? You're empowering yourself to make a fork in the road and go in a different direction.
Yeah, and one thing that you also spoke into that I want to speak into this collective is that you were speaking about wearing a mask and how every time that we wear a mask and you personally feel like it's like you're going off path. And the mask is being anything other than what your spirit is saying, who you are, just own it. And I've learned, and I think it was maybe from Kat, from a few of my mentors, and just from my life as well, you can never be too much of anything for the people that resonate with your soul. Mm. You could never be too much of anything for anybody that is on the same resonance as you. Mm-hmm. And what that means is, if you've ever been told you're too much, or you're too profound, or why do you have to always talk about these things, or be too emotional, which a lot of us empaths are, empathic beings. I don't want to dub ourselves as empaths because that's a whole other ballgame of victim mentality where we just have no boundaries and have to feel everybody else stuff for them and save the world. Like, no, that's not what you came here for. Empathy is owning your own stuff and not trying to heal the world, but having boundaries to walk that. But that's a whole other day topic. But so you can never be too much for someone. If you've ever been told that, I'd like for you to just try this on for size for a moment to see if you could create a shift for yourself. It's not that you were too much for them or for anybody for that matter. It's that they do not have the capacity to hold space for themselves and their own experience and what they've been through. So when you come and you present and you're really open and you're sharing and you're expressing, it's about the fact that that person doesn't have the capacity to hold you because they can't hold themselves. You were never too much. They just couldn't handle it because they couldn't handle their own stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Really.
And this is something I feel is so intrinsic to my mission. I know that, and by the way, I know I'm not alone. I know that there's an entire collective of us on this same path. And like you said, this year has been powerful and potent. And I feel like we're all finding each other because it's time to rise up and it's time to let the world know that this is the truth. And it's funny because, you know, when the world went into lockdown and coronavirus reared up, it was suddenly very, very easy to see the people that I had been searching for, because while everyone was losing their shit, we were here going, yeah, this is what we were waiting for. Like, this was always coming, you know?
Literally. Yep. Oh yeah, that thing that you guys were telling me I was crazy about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's all this is. It's fine. And, you know, and this is really where I think this year has been a real opportunity to look at what's your belief system and how is it serving you? Because if you believe that, you know, your value is in the job that you do, then this year was an absolute shit show, because for a lot of people that got taken away. This brings it back to what you were talking about, this entire thing as an embodiment of who you are as a person, because ultimately your sense of fulfillment, your sense of joy can only ever come from you first. When it comes from you first, you then become a vibrational match for the things that are going to mirror and reflect that back to you. And that's how you end up meeting the right person and being in that beautiful relationship with them or finding that great job. You know, it's not that that person or that job ever filled a void. They just reflected back something that you'd already recognized within yourself. And that's all the work is. So all those people running around chasing the relationship, the job, the money, like whatever you think it is that you need before you can be happy, you don't need it. You have the ability to find that fulfillment within you first, in spite of not having whatever it is you think you need. And then the paradox is, when you realize that, the chances are you'll call that stuff in because you see it's for you, and that's why you keep chasing after it, right?
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I've heard at least four times as we've been talking to speak into this, and I'm in it. I'm literally what I would call in a incubator of lessons right now when it comes to relationship. And what you're saying is, when you stop looking, you go inward, you follow your own path, and you really pursue becoming that self-actualized version of yourself, then everything in your world has to come and match that vibration. It's something that I really speak into within my conscious relationship portion of my business, where I'm a firm believer, not even a believer, it's like a knower. I know it in my knower, in that part of me that, like, you can't, I don't need you to prove it. I just know it, that as long as we come into wholeness within ourselves, the ideal business, the ideal partner, the money, all of it will then rise to meet you there.
Yeah.
I'm actually in a situation right now, a partnership right now, that is exactly what you just described. We met during a period of time where neither one of us knew who the heck we were, what the heck we were doing. And we were like, you know, what do they call those? Star, it doesn't matter. It was a short period of time, 4 years ago. And we are both in admittance that we didn't honor the holiest expression of what that connection was intended for. It didn't end badly, but we didn't really show up for it. And we went our separate ways, stayed into contact a little bit here and there. Again, never thought about it. Didn't cross my mind. I didn't pine over it, which is actually really fascinating. I pined over all the other guys. And then we just have synchronistically been drawn back into each other's lives in a completely different state that neither one of us had ever planned to live in. And it's just been really fascinating, because what I'm realizing is, the more that I stepped into my fullness of my truth, the more that I stepped into healing and doing my inner work, on the other side of the country, he was actually elevating with me, which yes. then when the moment came, we were drawn back into each other's lives, which is where we are. And just yesterday, I had an opportunity of, wow, 4 years ago, neither one of us was conscious. This day and how much energy is moving through the two of us would have ended up in a fight or some sort of catastrophe. And I just witnessed myself feeling emotional, being triggered. I witnessed his energy reflecting that back to me because we reflect each other's stuff. And I did something that I'd never done before. I set a boundary and I was very explicit in saying, listen, when you do this and when you speak to me in this way, I need you to understand that that doesn't feel good to me and that it's actually creating more of a stress response in my body. And I'm feeling really frustrated with you right now. I would really like it if you stopped doing that because it hurts me. And you know that that then hurts this bond. And he got really quiet and he goes, thank you for saying that. I'm sorry. He's like, next time just communicate and I will do better. And I was like, perfect. Thank you. Yeah. But you could tell 4 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do that. So here's what I want to bring up. 4 years ago, same person. I mean, we were both different people, but the difference was 4 years ago, I would have felt like, what's wrong with this guy? Why is he saying this to me? I'm not going to deal with this, and went into this whole drama story and would have created an outcome of what ended up happening versus conscious, powerful, vulnerable communication, setting a healthy boundary, not assuming that he's my knight in shining armor and can read my goddamn mind, because men cannot understand a word that the woman's mind is thinking. Get it together. Stop thinking he knows what you mean, because he doesn't. And then he showed up. He didn't reject me. He didn't yell at me. He felt hurt. He felt my hurt. And he said, I don't want to make you feel that way. I'm going to fix it. And I was like, wow.
It's so powerful.
We both meditated. We both cried, got our shit out, and woke up this morning feeling like $1 million.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. And it's funny you said that. A similar thing happened to me, although not with a romantic relationship. That's a whole other story. Me and my husband, my soul knew his soul the minute I saw him. I've told this story before on the podcast, and we've definitely been challenged this year. And you know what? It all just came down to he is my absolute soulmate, and I do not choose to do this without him. So no matter what gets thrown our way, and he felt the exact same. But the thing was, in that struggle, we both got to a point where it was like, but if this has to end, that's going to be okay as well. You know, real true acceptance, true surrender.
Like, it's like polar opposite of codependency.
Totally.
It's like that we're not supposed to be together, and that means that that's what we need to be happy, then I'm okay with that too.
Yeah.
One thing I said in a interview recently, I said, he is God's first and then he is mine. If I ever get it twisted, I'm going to get slapped in the face. And every time we go into old patterns, we always get a nice little hit. Like a parent coming over and slapping your hand, like, no, we don't behave that way.
Yeah. Remember this? Yeah. But the thing was that a similar thing happened to me with one of my friendships a few years back. In fact, it's probably longer than 4 years ago, actually. It probably was around 4 or 5 years ago. So interesting that it's a similar timeline. But I went to visit a friend of mine who had gone to live overseas. And we had always stayed in touch, but they'd moved way away. So it was just every now and then a Zoom call, or I think it was Skype at that point or whatever. When I got to visit them, we were sat at dinner one night, and it transpired that we had all had a similar spiritual awakening. Like, we'd all elevated to this new level of understanding. And, you know, same when we met years and years ago, we were just kids. You know, we would go out drinking. We were like in the bars, like singing, dancing, mucking around, like fooling about. And it was just, you know, our friendship never broke, but it changed because they had to move away. And, you know, life goes like that anyway. Even if someone doesn't move away, you feel that you are distanced from people. So to then come back and find that we'd all gone into this kind of spiritual place was crazy. And at the time, we were very kind of amused by it, because, like, literally, you know, looking at what we used to get up to And then given the conversations we were having at dinner, we were like, God, if someone had come along and said, this is what we'd be talking about in 4 years, you just would never have believed it. Well,
literally.
Yeah. So then fast forward to this year, really sadly, I lost that friend. She died of cancer. She'd suffered for 6 years. She was one of my best friends. And I've spoken about this as well. I felt an activation the day that she left. I felt it. I felt the I felt the human loss, and I felt the soul elevation, the connection. I know she's with me. She's here right now. She absolutely, our relationship again just went to a whole other level that now transcends anything that's physical. And I just love that we were all being prepared for that. You know, back then, we were all being prepared. We were brought together as friends. We were brought back together. We reconnected and rebonded with our spiritual beliefs. Those beliefs are now healing her husband and her friends and myself. And that's the conversations that we have are very much rooted in that. We had the blessing of being able to speak about this with her, knowing what was coming. And I just think, it's such a beautiful example of something that looks like a terrible thing was actually beautifully unfolding for what it was always meant to be, you know?
Yes. And I've had that happen with friends as well. And it's been really fascinating to witness in this dynamic that I'm in right now, because it's literally the last person that I thought it would be, the last thought in my mind. And then we're putting the timelines together where we're like, this is all adding up. This was all always already adding up. Mm-hmm. And the thing within life, this is all happening to us all of the time. However, we do have this thing called free will, which I think is very costly. It's not free at all. It actually causes us to create a lot of chaos. What I've learned to call it, I've reframed it, and I said, I now always choose the divine will choice in this instant. Whatever that expression is, it's called the holy instant, if you've ever read A Course in Miracles. And it just reminds you that there is a whole and complete high and best timeline aspect of every conversation, of every relationship, of every situation you've ever been in, that if we simply tune in and surrender and ask, if this were to be me fully expressed as my highest expression in this moment, in this relationship, in this conversation, whatever it is that I'm doing, what would this need to look like for that to come to pass? And that's really trusting and handing things over and being willing to be guided, which is a huge thing in manifestation, right? What do I want? First, identify what you're telling yourself that you can't have it. Great. Now really seeking to create it by surrendering it, handing it over and trusting that it is yours, but then being the one to look for. And I was actually typing when you were speaking earlier around the concept of God. And I said, we pray or we ask or we manifest or we're journaling, however you want to call it. It's all the same thing. You don't have to call it God. But our prayers are answered through the form of opportunity. It's not, sometimes checks fall into that. Sometimes the relationship just pops up. Sometimes you're going to look at a place on the other side of the country and you run into an old friend 4 years later and they're like, oh, why don't you come and hang out for a little bit? And then like within a day's time, you're like, wait a minute, what is happening here? You know, these things that you don't plan, but you have to seize the opportunity and really start like being grateful for, oh my gosh, this is that thing. And so versus our prayers are answered through opportunities in the form of opportunities, but we must be the ones to be hyper-vigilant, looking for the miracle, seeking to be aware of anything that comes into your awareness, not from a place of trying to make it happen, but just be willing to recognize it, which, you know, when it's a spirit-led thing, it feels unattached, there's no agenda, it's tingly, and you're like, oh, am I in the twilight zone? What is this? And then having the courage to take aligned action, which is the huge thing. Because how many times has opportunity come and we don't act on it and then we lose that particular opportunity?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's that it's things are always rearranging. And, you know, I think this is where manifestation has been maybe either mistaught or just misconstrued, because people think, oh, I desire a Porsche. Where's my Porsche? Well, you might not be getting the Porsche, but some things might have been aligning in your world to lead you to that eventually. You know, things were already shifting. If that was aligned for you and you felt led to it, then that was already happening for you, but it might not look how you expect. And this is something I teach a lot. And, you know, I use the analogy of a friend, right? Imagine that you arrange to meet your friend in the park, and the friend being the thing that you want to manifest. And you say to your friend, I'm going to meet you in the park, and I'm going to sit on the bench, and I'll see you there at 7 or whatever. You go to the park, you walk in, you sit on the bench, and you sit and you wait and you stare at the entrance that you came in through, waiting for the friend to show up. And you sit there and you sit there and you sit there, and they don't come. And then eventually you feel disappointed, you feel let down. You're like, why didn't they show? What did I do wrong? Blah, blah, blah. You go home, you feel sad about it. But the truth is, your friend did come. They just walked in through another entrance that you didn't even know existed. And you were too busy looking right at that entrance to see that they were sat right next to you. Like, this is how I think manifestation works. I think the thing that you've called in is probably right there, but because you perceive that you are without it, you can't see that it's there, you know? And I love that analogy. It makes so much sense.
It makes absolute sense. We're so busy looking for the thing that we think we want that we're not willing to hold on loosely for something better to show up instead.
Right. Yeah. And actually, and how that comes as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. There was something else I just wanted to come back to. You know, you were talking about that surrender and that feeling of, it's just that knowing, it's that trust that you're being supported, that you're guided, that it's safe to let go of that thing that you think you need, and it's safe to rise above that. And this is a story I've told so many times, but I feel like I need to tell it again. And it was back at a time when I was visiting my nanny. She was really elderly, 94, and she was living on her own, was very depressed. And this particular day, I used to go every week. This particular day, I wasn't going to go because I'd had some scary bill through my door from a bailiff, and they said they were going to come and take all my stuff if I couldn't pay it. And there was no way I could pay it. And I was so anxious about it that I nearly didn't go. And then in the end, I was like, well, whether I visit my nan or not, this letter still exists. I may as well go and do some good in the world if, you know, something's going to happen later. So I went to see her. And that particular day, she didn't really want to talk. She was really anxious. And I was watching her and I was just thinking to myself, why are you so anxious? I don't understand what you're worried about. Because, you know, I could see she was safe. She was in her house. Like, I was with her. She wasn't going to be on her own. Somebody was making her food and all of this stuff. And I didn't get it. And as I was driving home, it suddenly hit me that it didn't matter that I knew she was safe. What mattered was that she didn't know she was safe. It was her perception that was the only thing that mattered. It didn't matter what was true. It just mattered what she believed was true. And in that moment, it hit me like a lightning bolt. And I heard the words, what if we're always okay? Like, I thought, what if somebody is looking down on me the way that I was watching her, going, why is she stressing? Like, why is she worried about that thing? Why is she running around panicking about the outcome? Because I can see she's all right. And I just heard the words, what if we're always okay? And it's something I've come back to again and again and again. And, you know, in that moment, I started to think, it's fine. The bailiffs can come because they might take my TV and my couch. They can't take my actual house and they can't take my kids. And really, that's all that matters, you know, and I suppose my husband as well. But I was like, they're only going to take material things. Yes, it's going to be embarrassing. It might be annoying. And then at some point I'll buy them again. Like, those things are replaceable and it's okay. And I almost thought to myself, bring it on, you know, just bring it, whatever. I can't pay it. In the next moment, like as soon as I let go of the fear, then an idea popped in my head and I was like, well, or I could just ring them and say, look, I don't have the full amount, but what if I paid this smaller amount? And of course I did that. They were like, yeah, that's fine. And that's what I did. And they never came. And that thing that I was so worried about never transpired. But I only got to that point because I got beyond the fear. You know, it's my favorite story to tell.
It's the best way of describing when we truly let go and surrender and are like, you know what? Okay, so worst case it happened, whatever. It's not the end of the world and I am still going to be okay. And then you breathe. And then all of a sudden the solution appears, but we can't see this. We're so stuck in our story and trying to control an outcome. That's the surrender piece.
Exactly.
Look at the scenario, put yourself through it and then say, and it's going to be okay regardless. And then all of a sudden, everything ends up working out.
Yeah. And you know, the thing I loved about that was, it wasn't like you read in the books where some miraculous, you know, I didn't suddenly get home and find a check that covered the amount or anything like that. It literally looked like, again, it comes back to that taking responsibility. Sure, I need to pay that bill. I'll pay it, but I can't pay it all in one go. It was just, it was accepting what was. It, you know, it wasn't about, oh, someone else has to help me, someone else has to give me that, or that company has to bend their rules to accommodate me. No, it was like, this is the situation. I'm going to accept it as it is, and then I'm going to find a solution, whatever that looks like. And I know that whatever the outcome is, I'm going to be all right. And you know, that's been something that has really stayed with me many, many times since then, where I've felt that fear rising up. And it, but you get better at it. You get quicker at being able to shift into that place of, you know, and I think people worry that they're being a bit despondent, and they worry that if they let go of the fear or the anxiety, that then the thing is going to come at them. Well, if you're worried about that, then you never really let go of the fear anyway. You know, it's true. Like, I just truly felt in that moment that I was okay. And I truly believed that I was going to be all right, no matter what, whatever that looked like. And I just accepted that maybe I didn't know all of what was going on. And that then mirrored later on when I was talking to my friend that I mentioned earlier. We were talking about prayer, and we were talking about her situation. And, you know, and I said to her, I'd had this kind of feeling of, when you're praying for someone, if someone you love is sick, right, and you're begging God or the universe or whatever to spare their life, to keep them here, we don't know what we're asking for. And this is the conversation I had with my friend. I was like, we don't know what we're asking for when we ask for that person to stay. You know, we both agreed that there just had to be a bigger piece that we weren't seeing, and we just chose to trust in that. And you know, some of the synchronicities I got on the day that she left just let me know that she was absolutely there. I get the synchronicity still. In fact, as it is today, I just had two nights in a row where she was in my dream 100% of the time, to the fact where I woke up this morning and felt like I hadn't even slept, because I'd just been, you know, having shenanigans with her, like on some other plane, astral plane somewhere. I don't know what we were getting up to. But that was a beautiful realization, and that in itself was surrender, that you don't know what you're asking for. It's that desperate energy of, please let me keep what I want, please let me keep what I need. You don't actually know what you're asking for. You like, we just have to be able to let go and trust, you know.
And I came to understand that we don't beg our creator for anything. And the best way that I've learned to, like you said, pray is not so much to ask for what I think I need or I want, but simply to always ask for the greatest good to come forth in my life and everything is involved, because then it can only be the best outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just believe that prayer isn't what we think it is. You're not placing an order to be served up. You're praying for understanding. You're praying to be held and supported, and to have that, you know, to have the ability to come through whatever it is that you're coming through. Amazing stuff.
Such amazing stuff. And I feel like the greatest gift we're ever granted in prayer is a shift in our perception, like you were saying. Like, help me to see it differently. I'm willing to see it differently. Look at what is, accept it, allow it to be. And then say, help me to find a solution where I feel that there isn't one.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the empowerment right there. That is the moment you get your power back, because you're no longer going, please don't let this thing happen to me, please bless me with whatever. You're just saying, I understand that this shift comes from me first. Help me get to that place. You know, you're taking your power back in that moment. You're not waiting for anyone to come riding in on a white horse or anything. You're just asking, you're saying, I know there's another way to see it. Let me see what that is, you know? And then it's having no expectations about that. It's funny how those nudges are going to hit you. It won't be what you expect. You know, it'll just hit, like it hit me while I was driving. You know, I didn't go and visit my nanny that day because I was looking for the answer. You know, I didn't go with a premeditated plan of, oh, well, if I do that good thing, then I'll get some clarity. No, I just went because I knew that my nanny wanted to see me. And I was like, why wouldn't I go? It doesn't matter if I'm, you know, worried about something over here. I'm just going to continue to do what feels good. I'll worry about that later. It's not going anywhere. And then that amazing epiphany. And not only did it help me in that moment, but now I tell that story again and again and again. And every time I tell it, it helps somebody that hears it. So it's the gift that keeps giving. It's my favorite story to tell.
The greatest good of all that could have been done in that particular instance. And it's going to continue to serve the collective. And that in of itself, that's what you were saying. The inspired nudges, they're really not going to make sense to the logic brain. Mm. So the more that we can just, like you said, follow our joy and allow ourselves to really be open to what might come, that's where the magic is. Those are the little moment-to-moment miracles. Everything is the small stuff. So choose the present now. Choose to be open, being receptive, to look for the greater good. Choose to allow your human to feel, to get angry, to communicate, to express, to be all that your human wants to be. And then also from that humanness, then shift yourself into, I'm not alone in this. There is a higher power that's always seeking to hold me, to love me, to create me. I'm gonna be okay. Mm. And align and allow the universe to hustle for you. That's literally the process.
Yeah, absolutely. Such a beautiful note to end on. I could literally keep you here forever, but I won't. I'll let you go. I know you have a life to lead. Jana, if people want to connect with you further, where can they find you if they want to follow what you're doing?
Yes. So I'm on Instagram and Facebook at Jana Rome, ZHANNARomm. I also, my website is my name, my first and last name.com. I have a Facebook community that you know about because you were in the summit that I did, as well as I've shared my meditation album with the beautiful Lily here for all of you that would like to tune in and listen to. There are five, I think, now. There's an inner child one. There's a twin flame one. For those of you that know what I'm talking about, you know what that's about. There's consciousness one, there's an elevation one, there's a manifestation one, and then the surrender piece that I spoke into today, I actually have an audio recording of the surrender prayer that I lean into whenever I'm feeling like something feels like there's an attachment so that I can allow the highest expression to come through that situation. It's part of that album, and there's actually a written version of it at the bottom of the actual audio. So you will have access to all of those pieces in the album that you're going to be able to access.
That's such a beautiful gift. Thank you so much. And I really hope you guys will take Jana up on that. Like she said, we'll put the links in the show notes and you guys can find it there, along with all of the links to the website, to the social media handles, where you can go and connect. And, you know, I would really, really love to hear you guys, your thoughts on this episode and what this brought up for you. I feel like we went deep. And I would just love to hear, I absolutely know this has given you some ahas, some shifts, and I'd love to hear what they are. And I know Jana would love to hear as well. So do reach out, connect with Jana, give us a shout out on Instagram. You know, I'm over there on my stories right now. If you want to check out the 30 days of wealth consciousness, it's just an experiment I'm doing basically. Come and follow my stories and find out about that. Feel free to play along. And yeah, get yourself into Jana's community. It's the most amazing place. She's connected with some of the most amazing people as well. So it's a real hub of energy and expansion just waiting to happen.
It's so potent and it's completely free. There's hundreds of hours of free content. Go in, let your spirit guide you to nourish from any one of the beautiful speakers that I brought in. And I hope to see you there. And if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to give me a little nudge.
Yeah, absolutely. Jana, thank you so much for giving us your time today.
Thank you so much, Lily. This has been absolutely beautiful, nourishing, and divine. I so value you as sister.
Yeah, right back at you. And to everyone listening, remember, confidence is yours as soon as you choose it. I'm going to be back again with another episode very soon. Look after yourselves. See you later.
You've been listening to Lily Badcock on the Confidence Academy podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Please show me some love by subscribing to the show and giving it a rate and review on iTunes. And of course, if you know anyone who needs this show in their life, please pass it on and share the love. If you have an inspiring story that you would like to share on the show, please get in touch using the link in the show notes below. And don't forget, you can hang out with me live every week in the Facebook group, so I'll look forward to seeing you there. Finally, make sure you've joined my mailing list so I can shower you with love on the daily and give you a heads up about all of the exciting things that are happening in Lilyland. Things like my online choir that is now live! Grab your free trial and join the mailing list by clicking the link in the show notes or visit lilybadcock.com for all of the information. Thanks again for being here. See you again soon. Big love.